Well, good evening, everyone. It's a special privilege to be here with you guys again this evening. I remember that last song we just sang many years ago. I was deep in sin. There was a large group of people in this community singing that song over and over and over. I just sat there. I was trapped in sin. I wanted to be with these people. I wanted to sing these songs with them. But I was trapped, hopelessly trapped. I thought that seemed hopeless to me because of the bad choices that I had made. Please bear with me. I'll try to do the best I can here. I just have a sort of a collection of thoughts in part of my test. I was going to put a different message together when Brother Steve called me and asked me to share something tonight. I was thinking about some different topics, and I started preparing, and it just wasn't going well. It just wasn't coming. And then finally I realized God was laying on my heart that He wanted me to share parts of my testimony. I'm not proud of the things I've done. Many of you already know all these things about me, but if there's some young people here tonight that maybe have never heard it, if it could spare them some grief and misery, it'd be worth it all. I'd like to, if I title these thoughts, I would like to call it "Make Good Choices." Is what I'd like to call it. Well. It's exciting to see, like tonight, there's so many people willing to set a night aside to just go out and worship the Lord for the evening. There's many other things we could have done. It's exciting to see this here. And I had a little thought that I heard some time ago about a family that went to the zoo. They went to the zoo and they went. And, you know, they went up and down the road, seeing all these animals. And they came to the lion's den. And they were looking at this real thick glass. They were looking at these big, vicious lions on the other side of that wall. And the family was standing there in awe, looking at these animals. And one of the children said, "My, I'm glad I'm not in that pen with that lion." But the reality of it is, we are in that pen with that lion. He's roaring, roaming about right at this moment, seeing who he can devour. And we are in that pen. And that one more thought I want to share here is, we would all agree that Jesus is coming back soon. We would all agree with that, I would think. But how many of us in this room, how many of us are expecting him tonight? Are we ready? What if he comes tonight? It's always someday soon, but what if it could be tonight. I just challenge this for myself, too. God, is it? It's by the mercy of the Lord that I can even be here, standing here. I've done so many wicked things that it's just, God's a merciful God. I don't understand how He works. We're not supposed to try to figure Him out, but at 15 years of age, that's when I started going wrong. 1978, well, first of all, I had a horrific snowmobile wreck when I was 15 years of age. I had hit a car head-on with a snowmobile, about 50 miles an hour head-on crash. And God spared me from that. I was in hospital for 56 days. He delivered me from that and allowed me to live. I was drinking and partying, just having a good time, and I was just reckless with my life. And then what... The next thing that I did wrong, about around 1978, I'd like to really stress on the young people here tonight, or anybody, specifically the young people, make good choices in your life and start now. And the one thing that you're going to face, many children have faced it by the time they're 10 years old, and that's the world of pornography. It's a wicked, wicked, terrible, destructive world, and when someday you're going to come face to face with that, and you're going to have to make a choice. And then when the day comes when you meet that thing, that evil thing, have your decision made now that I'm not going down that road. I'm not opening that door. I'm going the other way as fast as I can go. And that's a terrible, terrible trap. If you dabble in pornography, they're just what they are is just electronic images by some wicked, evil man somewhere that put these images together. But they're so alluring and so just so addictive. It's just a very, very. I was trapped in. I made a bad choice at 15 years of age, and I went into that world, and I was trapped for 35 years. And it's a downward spiral. And once it gets its clutches in you, if you open the door to your heart and let Satan get in that door, that's the only way he can get you is if you let him in. You make that choice, and I made a choice. We found a magazine laying along the road, and we looked at this magazine, and the boys threw it in a ditch, and they started on their way. And I picked up the magazine. I made a choice. I'm going to pick up this magazine and take it home. I want to look at it just one more time, then I'm going to dispose of it. Bad choice. Bad choice. And if you get into that world, it will destroy your. It just destroys everything about you. It warps your viewpoint on marriage and the women. And marriage is an honorable thing, ordained by God. And if everything is done properly, if you were converted and you go into a marriage, obviously this is one thing that I didn't do. I wasn't converted. But it's an honorable thing, but it needs to be done God's way. It's not to be misused, and pornography is just a terrible thing. And I'd like to take this opportunity. I just have a desire to share a couple thoughts here that Brother Mervyn Graber was one of my real good friends. He was a bishop in Amish Maranatha Mennonite Church. You know who I'm talking about. He passed away about 2 years ago. He played a role in my conversion, and he was at my house one Sunday afternoon a couple months before he died. And he had walked with the Lord for 40 years. He had got converted. The Bible says, by their fruits you will know them. And I feel like he had good fruit after a 40-year walk with the Lord. So I asked him that afternoon, I said, how did you do this, Merv? I'm 49 years old, and I just became a Christian. God delivered me from all this wicked sin. I asked him, what are some things that you have learned that would help me avoid making a lot of mistakes? And these are the things that he shared with me that Sunday afternoon. He said, you must remain broken and humble, or God cannot use you in his kingdom. You need to be broken and humble. And I had shared with him, before we started talking about this, I shared with him that when I got converted, God gave me a huge burden for the Amish community. I love the Amish people very, very much. And I would have a desire. They're my people, and it's my heritage. And I have a terrific burden to help these people, whatever I can do, however God can use me. I can't do it myself. I just want to volunteer to God. I volunteer to be a servant for you, or anything I can do to help you in this. Please use me. When I shared it with him, he shared with me, he said, if that's the case, Lewis, he said, a very, very important thing that you need to know is don't let this anti-spirit to come into your heart. In this case, it would be, we would call it anti-Amish. It could be anti-whatever setting you come out of. That's an evil spirit. You got to love these people. Wherever it is you come from, the people you want to help, you got to love them, and it's got to be real. Then he also said, avoid the spirit of criticism. It is a sin. And then he said, open yourself up and be willing to accept correction from the brothers in the brotherhood. And I just wanted to pass that on to some things that I'm trying to apply these things in my life. I thought that was what he had learned after 40 years of walking with the Lord, and I just wanted to pass it on. I don't have an agenda or anything. I just wanted to pass these thoughts on. Let's see. The choices, I was talking about choices again. The choices that you young people will make today in your life as young people, when you become an adult and get married, in 7 generations, you will become 1 million people. Each one of us. if we get married and have 6 or 7, 8 children, and you go down 7 generations, it's over 1 million people. So let's make it a goal to pass something good down the line, leave something good behind us. And another thought I've got here is, it's just sort of a collection of things that I've shared and I've learned here and there, and I just wrote them all, put them all together. A wise man chooses his destination early in life and accepts the journey that it takes to get there. The rest of the people choose their journey. They're going to only live once, and they want to have a little fun, and they're going to go this way. They'll get right sometime, but they have to accept the destination that's awaiting them. And the second bad choice that I made, when I was 17, I started studying karate, and I didn't have any idea what I was getting into, but karate is directly tied into the occult. Witchcraft, demonic forces, and I had no idea. I thought I was really having a good time. I used to break these boards, and I thought I was really something. But there's some demonic forces behind it. I used to break solid oak boards with my bare foot. That's not normal. Thinking back now, I just know that's not normal. So I'd open my door to my heart to Satan and the immoralities part of my life. Then I opened another door to my heart to witchcraft. And then there I was. And then I had one more thing that I got hooked on, and that was heavy metal music. And then particularly, it was AC/DC, this one song by AC/DC. The name of the song was Highway to Hell. Imagine a song like that. And it was just embedded in my brain. And I was 49 years old, and I still had that. I was a father, and I had still had this CD hidden from my family, my wife. I had it hidden in the cabinet shop. Every once in a while, I had to go out and just hear that song. Terrible. Well, in 1984, I had all this baggage in my life, and I didn't know what to do. I know in 1984, I met a very sweet young lady that I didn't deserve. But she became my wife 3 years later, Marilyn. But God knew what he was doing. Had I not met her, I'd been forever lost. And I just want to share, there's many men in this room that prayed for me for years during them times. And I want to thank you for the prayers. And I want to apologize for whoever I treated rudely during them years. I was rude to many of you people. And I apologize at this time. I ask your forgiveness. And I'd like to encourage you guys to never give up on someone. I have struggled for many years. But I'll just get to the rest of this year in a little bit. In 2005, God put a brother, God works in mysterious ways, but what God did, he put a brother into my path. It happened to be Brother Aiden Schroyer from Bern. He was up here one weekend, and I met him. God sent him to put him in my path, and we became really good friends. And he had a burden for my soul, and he started... He started coming to visit me about twice a month for 10 years. He would come to my house. He would pray with me. And many of the other men would come to my house too. But he was the one that he prayed with me and shared with me. Well, the point I'm trying to make is that he didn't give up. And that's what I'm trying to point. Let's never give up on someone, no matter how hopeless it seems. As long as you're alive, let's just keep, we can at least pray. And after about 10 years, well, 1999, I'm sort of scattered here tonight, but I apologize, but I don't have it really organized. In 1999, my wife, Marilyn, got born again, but we didn't know what happened to her. She had been working for a Baptist a couple cleaning their house, and they started talking to her about God, and they asked her one day, are you saved, Merlin? Where do you stand with the Lord? Are you saved? And she was sort of taken aback. You know, we don't normally talk about things like that, but that caused her to start searching. And she really researched when I wasn't around. And I was really into parties and drinking and caring. I just living a selfish life I was just wanting to have fun. But that caused a lot of difficulty in our life. In Maryland, we suffered with the 25 years of a marriage with me and my wife and Satan in our house. That's what we had. We didn't have God in our house. It was Satan. And I've read that when a man does pornography, that's a very demonic world. When a man does pornography, it opens that home up to demons to come into the home and attack the children. And that's a very evil thing. And I can't confirm that with scripture at this time, but that's what I was told and read. We was married, and Marilyn got converted, and she would be sitting on her couch reading her Bible every night, and I'd be on my chair reading Western paperback novels. And Alicia was born in 2006. She was born in 2006, and then when she got about 3 years old, every night my wife and daughter would go into the bathroom, and they'd get down on their knees, and they'd pray. I could hear them. I was stubborn. I cried, bitter. I'd sit on my chair, and I just listened to him. I could hear my little daughter praying for her daddy. I'm going to read a little poem here that really, really makes me feel. This is a poem that is called "Please, Daddy, Let's Go." A little girl with shiny eyes, her upturned face aglow, said, "Daddy, it's almost time for church and we should go. Let's go and hear Jesus' love and how he died for all, to take them to his home above who on his name will call." "Oh no," said Daddy, "not today. I've worked hard all this week, and I must have one day to rest. I'm going to the creek. For there I can relax and rest, and fishing is fine, they say. So run along, don't bother me, we'll go another day." Months and years have passed away, but Daddy hears that plea no more. Of "let us please, please go to church." Those childhood days are over. And now that Daddy is growing old and life is almost through, he finds some time to go to church. But what does daughter do? She says, "Oh, Daddy, not today. I was out almost all night last night. I've got to get a little sleep. Besides, I look a fright." Then Daddy lifts a trembling hand to brush away the tears, and hears again that pleading voice distinctly through the years. He sees a small girl's upturned face, upturned with eyes aglow, saying, "Daddy, it's time for church. Please, Daddy, won't you go?" I'm so thankful that my story didn't end up that way, but it could have. It could have ended up that way. But by the mercy of the Lord, it didn't end up that way. Well, then Aiden started spending, he spent 10 years with me in my house there. And my son Stanley, by him growing up in a household like that, with the mom and dad weren't on the same page. And all these, and he shared with me just recently. That he found some of my videos that I have hidden, the wicked sick videos that I have hidden, and I used to like to drink whiskey, and he found my whiskey. He knew I had a whiskey bottle hid at the shop somewhere, right close to the refrigerator. I had very carefully made a real good hiding place. I'll tell you what I had done. There was a base sink cabinet. Beside the refrigerator there in the cabinet shop, and it was the grill was just a fake grill, and then it had two doors down below, and you couldn't open it. There was no drawer. I had to go down underneath and behind there and made a shelf behind that fake drawer front, and then I'd hide my whiskey bottle up in there. And Friday afternoon, I'd have to have a spiked pop. And that's just something that I had to do. It was a choice that I didn't have to, but that's something I wanted to do. And my son was growing up, and Friday afternoon, he'd come to the shop, and all of a sudden, about Friday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, I'd get that urge I want to have a spiked pop. And so I'd get a Mountain Dew, and I'd fix it up, and I'd have it sitting there on a table. Then my son would come through, and he'd smell that. He was 10, 12 years old, and then he knew what I was doing. He shared this with me. But he tried to out, I came through here 10 minutes ago, and that wasn't there. Where's that bottle at? He said he searched for that bottle for probably a year. And one day he said he knew it had to be somewhere close here. So he told me, he said, Dad, one day I crawled down on my hands and knees and I crawled in that cabinet. I crawled right inside that cabinet and I found it. And then he started drinking it also. My son, 12-year-old innocent son, started drinking my whiskey and then he had caused him much, much grief. He's being an overcomer today. He's being an overcomer. But I could have saved him so much grief and so much misery if I'd have just been in my place. So, but that's what bad choices will. We can make. We have free will. We can do whatever we want. Nobody can tell us anything. We can do. We can go. We can do whatever we want. But we make our own choices. But once a choice is made, the consequences are en route. But we have no say what about the consequences that's going to be coming. Hopefully, if you make a good choice, then there's going to be good consequences coming. But if you make bad choices, the bad consequences are going to come. They are going to come. But I'm just sorry that I did all that to my son and made all the mistakes. And I'm just encouraging all these young people to stay away from alcohol. And okay, let's see. What eventually happened to me is the movement took place here in Allen County, and I became very aware of where I stood. My standing with God was very bad. I finally came to the realization that if I don't do something, I'm gonna go to the bad place, and I'm gonna burn for all eternity, and I didn't want that to happen. And then I heard enough people talking and heard enough people things that were said that I knew all I had to do was get down on my knees and confess my sins and God would forgive me and He would give me a new heart. I knew all these things. But then I wanted to do this. I wanted to have freedom. But then I discovered I walk up to there would be a line right here on the floor. All I'd have to do is step across that line and I could have joy and peace and happiness like all these men around me that I'm seeing. All these men that have found a new life. I wanted to be like that. But I was frozen. I could not cross that line. I could not. And I was about ready to give up. I just thought I had sealed my fate. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that, you know, He'll call on you so many times and He will harden your heart and leave. I thought that's where I was. But one night, I had too many strongholds in the immorality, in the alcohol, the heavy metal music, and the witchcraft. I was just tangled up in, you might say, chains or I guess that's what I would say. I was stuck. But one night, I don't want to keep saying Aiden Troy, but I'm just saying, well, he was with me one night, and he asked me. After about 9 years, he asked me, "If Lewis said, I'd like to pray with you tonight, and I'd like to for you to renounce your desire for heavy metal music and karate." I don't think so. I wanted to, but he wouldn't. But something else said no. And he insisted, and finally I said, "Well, if you want to pray, you can go ahead and pray, but I'm not a willing participant." So he prayed, I'm just sure that, you know, if you're ever in a situation like this, this it was effective. It helped. He prayed on my behalf and renounced my desire for these things, renounced them, and he had a very nice prayer. And I discovered a couple of days later that I realized something had shifted. Something was different. I felt just, I wasn't quite so bound. And then I decided, I could see a glimmer of light through the bottom of the door, so I began to battle anew. And I would like to encourage people, there's a verse in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." It has to be young people, whoever you are, if you have not done that, when Jesus knocks on that door, open the door and let him in. That's the only way he can come in. You have to open the door and let him in. That's the only way he can come into your heart. But please don't push him away. He did so much for us. He died for our sins. We need this. Please let him in. You'll never regret it. I was always concerned. One of the things that held me up, I was always concerned about losing my friends and my reputation and all these things. And I was about, what about my business? And but if I would have not surrendered and surrendered at all, I would have never knew how many rewards are in the Christian life. It is so rewarding. I have a whole. I lost my drinking buddies. But now I have a whole new world of friends all across the country, and it's just exciting to go from one community to another community, and it's solid, true, trustworthy friends that are Christian friends. I honestly used to think, when I was trying to become a Christian, I used to think about these things. I sit there and I remember very, very clearly, if I would actually do this, that would mean no more bluegrass festivals, no more Saturday afternoon whiskey pops, no more parties, no more nothing. That would really be a... What would I do with myself? And that's honestly the thoughts that went through my heart. I just thought it would be a boring life. But I stand here to testify that I was totally wrong. And Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit within will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." He has a new heart for every man, woman, and child walking around in this entire community, in the entire world. He has a new heart for everyone, every soul. But we have to, he's not going to just give it to us. We have to do our part, and then he will do his will and follow his commandments, and he will give us that new heart. And well, there's many, many more things that I can share. I don't want to go too long tonight. I just thought I'd touch on some of the highlights. I just wanted to encourage the young people to, if you haven't made a commitment to the Lord, and the one more thing I want to share, when that happens, when you come to that point, God calls and Jesus knocks on your heart's door, and you open the door and let him in. Let him come all the way in. Give him everything. Don't just go halfways. Don't just go part ways. Go all the way. Just be sold out. And I assure you, it'll be a blessing. You'll never regret it. I've never heard of it. This man said he had never heard of a Christian that regrets that he confessed and became a Christian. Nobody ever regretted that I've ever heard. But I'm just real thankful to my wife and for all the patience that she dealt with through all them 25 years of sin. And she was patient, tolerant, and forgiving. And the night that I confessed and finally was broken and confessed my sins, she was with me and she heard all of these vile things come forth, and she didn't leave me. I thank her for that. And I thank all many of you men in this room for bearing with me and having patience with me. And I'm not perfect at this time. But I have a whole different life, and I love serving the Lord, and I just pray that I can continue on and just be a servant. And I just wish you all the best, and I pray for these young people that don't make the right choices and be the servants for the Lord. Time is running out really fast, and we need to reach these souls as sooner as we can before the time runs out. We don't know how long we're going to have these Bibles. This could be all sophisticated, and it would be much harder to reach these souls then. There's a lot more things that I could add, but I guess that's pretty much the general thoughts that I wanted to get across tonight. So God bless you all, and let's keep pressing on towards the mark and not give up. God bless you.